I tell you to be different and creative and think this way. A much used business cliche. Kayla.
What is outside the box?
You got it.
We're flying high with the wings and talking all things lacrosse. You're now listening to the Outside the Box podcast right here on Underground Sports Philadelphia. What is going on, OTB Nation? Welcome into episode number 312 of the award-nominated, honorably mentioned, number 9 NCAA-ranked, and of course, viewable on YouTube, Outside the Box podcast, the official lacrosse podcast on the Underground Sports Philadelphia Podcast Network. It's KB and Deej coming at you. We got a big-time episode on deck for you guys. And before we even get started, I know last week episode's a little delayed by the time you're listening to this one. That one is out. Your boy's playing catch up. For those that don't know, all the pods that you get on YouTube and in your podcast feeds, your boy is holding it down on the editing side and getting all of the shows up for the people. That way, all of our quote unquote employees, all of our content creators who also have other jobs can do their other jobs while still being part of the network and getting things done. So I hold it down for the people and I'm fine doing that. But sometimes you go away for content for a week and you only have one laptop to work with. And then you come back from being away for a week and you also work a contract job and you're taking photos of a very badass musical that's happening this weekend. If you're in the area, go see Matilda at Buena Regional High School. So we're playing catch-up. Life happens. I apologize. It's not a normal occurrence. You guys know that. But I want to address it for the people because that episode has some badass interviews in there with some of our awesome friends. Chris Rosenthal, Piper Bond, Danny Passavoy. Go check it out. Listen to it. I know the NLL discussion may be a little outdated, but there's some good conversation in there, some great content, and I know you'll appreciate it.
Talking to me? Yeah, I do appreciate it a lot. But at the same time, y'all know what we could really use? An intern. So if you know somebody that wants to do this stuff and learn under cool people and get some amazing opportunities, have them hit us up. We could use an intern or two, get us out and get more content loaded up. We can have some help with editing, shooting, all that kind of stuff. So if you know somebody, tell them hit us up. OTB, F1, Top Bins, whatever the case may be, we can use absolutely all the help we can.
Come
get.
Join our intern squad with Kate. Kate's working on F1 and on the Sunday shows for the main pod with us. She's awesome. But yeah, we could definitely use an intern, or if you want to, you know, get into the lacrosse space with, all bias aside, arguably number one lacrosse podcast on the planet. Streets are talking.
Not us, the streets.
Hit us up. Slide in the DMs. DMs are open. Always. But yeah, it's not a normal occurrence. You guys know that. If you're a loyal listener to this show, you know that. Also, if you are an audio listener, I haven't even told Deej this yet. The artwork for the podcast may have a little update to it soon, not logo wise, but just overall artwork for the pods. Been doing a little research and just looking at how we can enhance things after we did the Top Bins rebrand, which I'm very proud of, and not just because I designed it all, but did a little research, Deej, and if you go onto your podcast app of choice and you take a look at the Top Bins logo, there's a nice little left corner adjustment on their podcast logo. Might start doing that with all the pods because I think it'll look good.
It'll look amazing. There's no reason not to do it.
So I was messing around with ours, and you know what? Let me see if I can get an initial reaction to I'll try to pull this up while we're recording and take a picture of it and send it to you and get your thoughts on what I did to ours. But we're back. And before we get into everything, Deej, what should they be doing?
They should be following us on the socials, all of them.
And same handle everywhere.
On every account possible. If you like me, you got Spotify, you got Apple Podcasts, and you got YouTube. No reason for you to not be following, subscribe to us on all platforms. Then you can get our show in multiple different ways, no matter where you are. Oh, you got time to sit down and watch a video? Bang, YouTube. You're in the car? Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Or maybe you're somewhere where you don't have a lot of internet, so you download our episode and listen to it on Spotify. There are so many reasons as to why you should have us on every platform so that you don't miss anything we got going on here at OTV.
Especially because there's some talking in the streets that some big things could be happening this summer on the PLL tour with us. So just saying. Just saying for the people, if you keep subscribing and following at OTB LaxPod, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, follow Deej on Twitter at @SCS_NextGreat. Follow me, KBIZZL311. Follow us, subscribe to the pod, Apple, Spotify. Leave a 5-star rating and review, especially on Spotify, because, you know, they always say you haven't made it until you've got haters, Deej, and apparently we got some haters on Spotify leaving some lower star reviews. We're only a 4.6 rated podcast on Spotify. Let's bump that up a little bit. Let's bump it up on both. As small of an ask as that is, leaving the 5-star ratings and reviews on both Apple and Spotify goes a long way, especially because LaCrosse does not have like an individualized podcast chart like some of the other sports do. So keep subscribing, keep leaving 5-star ratings and reviews, and keep subscribing to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/@UndergroundSportsPhiladelphia. It's where you get full video episodes of this show, every show on our network, clips, shorts, live streams. We are going to be uploading in the coming weeks individualized versions of every episode of OTB Radio from Champ Series on the YouTube. So keep subscribing. youtube.com/@UndergroundSportsPhiladelphia, and get your merch at phiapparel.co. It's the best place and the only place to get your Underground Sports Philadelphia merch, your OTB shirts, hoodies, Underground Sports Philadelphia shirts and hoodies. And if you're a Philly sports fan like myself and a Philly sports fan by proxy like Deej, you can get Phillies, Eagles, Flyers, Sixers, Union, and Philadelphia-centric merch as well. It's the most comfortable apparel in the game, phiapparel.co, and use code underground for 10% off your merch orders. It's the most effective and direct way to support everything we're doing. So get your merch, phiapparel.co, code underground, 10% off your order. Deej, it is NLL season, and I know we typically lead off NLL season talking NLL, but when you have news as big as the news that came out on Wednesday, you got to lead things off with it. And it is brought to you by the PLL app and our PLL XP code. That's right. The XP code still works on the PLL app. Download the PLL app and go to the redeem code section in the app, and you're going to get 500 XP when you use code OTBPOD. That's OTBPOD for 500 XP in the PLL app. They are able to track whoever uses our code to see how many times that code gets used. So the more it gets used, the more we're going to be able to be involved with the PLL app moving forward. And we want that. We want that for us, not only us, but we want that for all content creators to be able to link up with the PLL, link up with the PLL app, and have that opportunity to grow alongside with the league and be integrated into their app platform. So download the PLL app if you haven't already and go to the redeem code section and use code OTBPOD for 500 XP. Our pal Patty Pitts used it, downloaded the app, used the XP code. He leveled up to level 2 right away. Instant. So use our code, support the boys, support the PLL app. Use code OTBPOD for 500 XP. Deej, unfortunate news for the pod, for the brand, and for the city of Philadelphia. Andy Copeland has stepped down as head coach of the Philadelphia Water Dogs, and this caught all of lacrosse Twitter by surprise. Nobody saw this coming, and it's an unfortunate day for the sport, for a team that just got a home city that was going to be able to claim arguably best coach GM in the league since he's come into the league. I think that is a fair thing to debate and a fair thing to discuss. And it, I wouldn't argue against saying that Andy Copeland was number one. And more importantly, one of the best humans in the PLL since he came in 2020 and built the Water Dogs from scratch. Took them from one win in the inaugural season in the bubble during the original championship series and turned them into a perennial championship contender with within a few minor moves and a couple years they're hoisting a trophy and playing in back-to-back championship games and playing in the championship series championship. Cope is just, he's that dude. Like, there are not enough good words to formulate about how I personally feel, you personally feel, and you and I collectively feel about Andy Copeland as a coach, as a GM, and more importantly, as a person. Like, Cope was, from the jump, so just willing to come on the show. We conducted his first interview. This is pre-Deej. Conducted his first interview as head coach of the Water Dogs in 2020. January of 2020, he came on the show. And from there, it was just instant, like, chemistry with him, understanding what we do, supporting us, supporting our overall company, and wanting us to succeed. And he told that straight to our faces after the Water Dogs won the championship in 2022. And I'm genuinely going to miss seeing Andy Copeland every weekend.
He was, oh man, this one sucks.
It sucks.
Not just because he's Philly coach, that adds a little bit of salt on the wound, but more so because as the league continues to evolve, this is going to continue to happen. But with the league coming when it did, especially for me, like I'd only been into lacrosse for 3 years before the PLL came around. I'd only been outside of the media sector for 2 years and not even a full 2 years of the PLL being around before I got to see that side. So a lot of the coaches who are leaving now were the first ones that I got to ask questions in press conferences, the first ones that I got to shake their hand, first ones that I got to be in this version of myself in terms of lacrosse. And it's almost like the ending of an era. Like, it's starting to make me feel old. Like, I've been doing this media thing for a while. Like, the coaches I first met that are helping me get my, you know, my footing in the game and reaching out and saying, hey, that was a great question, or noticing me being at, you know, my third press conference, like, oh, what's up? How are you doing? Like, they finally see that I'm here and I'm active and they know who I am, and they stop when they're out on the concourse and, you know, chop it up a little bit. Like, those things mean so much to me. To see coaches now leaving that are doing that, it hits differently for me on a separate point, because it's like, wow, I've been doing this for a few years now. And like, sure, it's only been what, two coaches, I guess, so far for me. But how long does Stags have? How long is Nat going to continue coaching both college and pro? How long, you know, do these guys have? Even AT, like AT's on the younger side, but how long is he going to coach professional lacrosse? We don't know the answers to these things. So I only have a few more OG coaches for me. So like, that's where it's hitting. It's like, dang, like all the OG coaches I came up under and are learning to do this media thing and building a connection with are slowly exiting the pro game. And I mean, they're beautiful lacrosse minds at that. Like, if you look at some of the things that the Water Dogs have done in the past 3 years on the field, Cope's one of the smartest lacrosse brains we've ever seen. He's put people in positions to win over and over and over again. He knew early this year he wasn't going to have Withers back. He was the first one to be like, I don't care about a faceoff. Forget it. He sees things so far ahead and is prepared for everything that you could possibly be prepared for. And like when you see a Water Dogs lose a game, and especially a close one, it's not a lack of coaching, not a lack of skill, not like it literally was just a bad bounce. Mm-hmm. They didn't get the luck that time. Everybody was in perfect place. Everybody was in position. Everybody was set up to win. They just didn't get the bounce that time. And that says a lot about Copeland. And then you like look at his last few press conferences where he's talking a lot about the culture and what it means to be a Water Dog, what their locker room is like. Like, it's almost like he was foreshadowing that he was hanging things up, but he also talked how well he built up the current iteration of the Water Dogs, and that no matter who takes it over, they're set. They just obviously had to come in and make some tweaks into their personal liking, but the foundation is set. It's solid. Those players want to be there. They want to wear a Water Dogs jersey. They like the guys around them. The coaching staff was bought in. Everybody is solidly into the Philadelphia Water Dogs, and it started at the top with Copeland. And then you could also see how they interacted with us as media because of how Copeland interacted with us as media, more specifically the two of us, him being so close to us and having conversations and being there and pointing us out. It led to Kieran doing the same thing. It led to, you know, Sowers. We have a lot of connections with the Water Dogs due to how well we were connected with Copeland. So that also is going to be like a huge like drop off, not being able to have coach alongside those players. Like, obviously those players are still OTB guys and we'll be able to chop it up and everything, but it's different when you have that coaching relationship and then you're able to kind of bounce those off of each other. We're losing that piece, but I don't think it'll be long before, you know, we're knocking on the next Water Dogs coach's office. And
yeah, I was going to say, before we keep opining about Andy Copeland, as we should, whoever the next head coach of the Water Dogs is, just be prepared. You're coming on this show. You're coming on the main podcast on this network, and you're going to be our new best friend. So be ready. Be ready. And I'm sure every member of the Water Dogs that knows us already knows that's our plan, from Dylan Ward to Matt DeLuca to Kieran to Michael Sowers to Christian Scarpello to Eli Gobrecht. The whole squad is going to prepare that coach for us.
Hey, bestie.
How you doing?
Because we are definitely coming.
Knock, knock, knock.
Everybody else out there knocking, you can't get in until we let you in.
Right.
We got first dibs.
We got dibs.
You heard it here. Don't make us pull out the big guns.
I'm sure Cope is letting whoever it is know that we're coming.
Probably, but if we got to pull out the big guns, you know who I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
We will. So don't make us do it. We got first. Y'all can have them after we're already besties.
Said.
Yeah. Who it's going to be?
I don't be hopeful. I was talking to, because CFO Margie is devastated about this. She met Andy Copeland, which I should mention. You're going to hear from Andy Copeland on this episode from our interview at Champ Series. Fitting that we did Andy Copeland's first and final interview, non-broadcast-wise, ever as head coach of the Water Dogs. So you'll hear from Cope after this segment here. CFO Margie's devastated. She met Cope at Champ Series, loves Andy Copeland, was very excited to root for Andy Copeland as a head coach for a Philadelphia team. So it definitely caught her off guard. But I was talking to her and I said, you know, it's different than the major four sports, more specifically for me, at least with football and baseball, where like you kind of have an idea of like who's next up in the rankings of like new coaches and like who's going to be, you know, hired as a coach, where like I didn't grow up following lacrosse like a lot of people. Like I got into lacrosse in 2018 and was like learning on the fly, and like some of these coaches that have gotten hired, like obviously Brian Holman, that was easy to kind of connect dots there and figure out who he was. I didn't know who Sean Quirk was outside of watching the 2020 MLL bubble, but did my research. We did his first interview as head coach of Cannons Lacrosse Club in the PLL. I didn't know who Andy Copeland was at all, and I just shot my shot, and I was like, let's get Cope on here. You know, I didn't know who Mike Pressler was until I did a little research. Didn't know who Tim Sudan was until I did a little research. So, like, for me, it's like figuring out kind of like backwards. It's like, let's see who this is, and then I'll go find the history of who this person is. And it's also weird because you kind of also have to look at any new PLL coach through the lens of Mike and Paul and who their connections are and who they would want to be interviewing for a potential next head coach. But CFO Margie did bring up a very interesting point, Teach. And we were talking about this a little bit pre-show. This is no knowledge either. This is a hypothetical, just, you know, shooting the shit with your mom. She said, do you think Chris Collins, current assistant coach for the Redwoods, would interview for the job? And I said, huh, that's an interesting approach to things. Obviously, our boy, CC, OG supporter of the show, lives in Philly and is Philly-based. And sure, the PLL tour system and you know, format is still occurring in 2024. And I hope it continues for a while. But from the aspect of CC living in Philly, when it comes to the community initiatives and everything, now with home cities, you'd have your head coach in your home market. That could make a lot of sense. And obviously, Chris Collins has young kids as well. Down the line, like that could make a lot of sense for him to want to be home base in Philadelphia. And me, and I know I speak for you on this as well, we would love that opportunity for Chris Collins to at least like get the offer to interview for the head coaching job. Will he take it? I don't know, because I genuinely feel like Chris Collins loves being the defensive coordinator for the Redwoods and being a part of that coaching staff. But it is an interesting approach where we haven't seen an assistant coach from a PLL team replace a head coach who stepped down yet.
Yeah, and we definitely haven't seen it across brands.
Teams
either. You know, like, I could see them doing something easy, like, oh, Nat decides to do college only and go to ONU, and okay, let's just move Chris up, and then boom, we go from there. Like, I could see something like that. Very surprised we didn't see something like that maybe with Atlas when
Rubio stepped down.
I don't know, man. Like, literally, when you think about like who Mike and Paul could choose for the next guy, like the options are almost endless.
And it's there, like, is one, Deej. There is one.
You're not finna do what I think you're finna do.
That our pal Jackson Holman put on the socials.
You are ridiculous, bro.
Would Mike and Paul put Bill Belichick in Philadelphia?
No. No. So he can die? Some Eagles fan is going to get a hold of that guy, and it's just over.
I saw Jackson's edit. Clean edit, by the way. Jackson does phenomenal
beautiful
work.
Edit. Beautiful.
And we were talking about this off pod. Would I want Bill Belichick as a head coach in Philadelphia? No. Because it's, and like, sure, Bill Belichick, NFL pedigree wise, one of the best to ever do it. Lacrosse wise, it's big shoes to fill for Andy Copeland. Like, you are filling the shoes, or attempting to fill the shoes, of one of the most successful coaches and GMs in PLL history.
Which is short, but still.
It's a short, like, length of time, but still. Like, for him to step in as the first expansion team head coach and now be on that pedestal is massive. I need somebody who's got a little chutzpah to them coming into Philadelphia. Who that could be, I have no clue. And I think you would know better than I would, just from a pattern of how coaches have been hired. You know, from the college ranks, potentially. I don't know what route they're going to go. I do find it interesting. We'll talk about it a little later. The Japan series rosters were announced, and Brooksy is the head coach for the PLL All-Stars. So that is an interesting nugget there. Not saying one way or the other that Brooksy is going to go coach the Water Dogs, but it is cool seeing him get an opportunity to be in a head coaching capacity for a second time as an assistant coach when it comes to Atlas and everything. But I have no clue what direction they're going to go. Could they promote one of the assistants? Sure. But it's going to be a fascinating sequence to see how this all goes down. And I love that Cope is staying on as interim GM as well until a new head coach is hired, because as of now, head coaches are the GMs of their teams. But I also have to mention this, Deej. Andy Copeland displayed the type of person he is, and how awesome of a human being he is, and how much he cares about the Water Dogs' longevity and culture, because he got their big free agents paid before announcing he was stepping down. He got Liam Burns locked up through 2025, if I'm not mistaken, Eli Gobrek through 2025, and Big Dylan Ward through 2026 before stepping down. I think that is an awesome display of character and the type of person that Andy Copeland is, to show the care and attention to detail he has for those guys as people to get those deals done before stepping down.
It says a lot to, like we talked about earlier, the culture of the locker room and the team of the Philadelphia Water Dogs. It's a very tight-knit group. To be 30-some people big, everybody knows everybody. They know something about their lifestyle, how it is for them at home, what they like to eat, their favorite color. They know these things about each other. They know their, you know, what kind of song these guys need to listen to before every game. Being a tight-knit group matters. So then when things like this come up where there's going to be change, it's handled within rather than from an exterior source. This easily could have just been brushed under the rug. Copeland's like, hey, I could choose not to do any of this because I'm not going to be the GM in a matter of XYZ days. Then everybody's looking around like, well, why am I not getting signed? What's going on? Now they're starting to ask questions, and he could just be like, oh, I'm thinking about it. Haven't figured it out yet. Season's coming around, but I'll make sure everything's handled. And then boom, just dips out. And then the new guy, they got to find a new guy. And then two, he's, as soon as he gets in the office, bang, he's slapped with 5-6 contracts that he has to figure out right away because they're 5 or 6 of his biggest players. Ludicrous and crazy to think that, one, that Cope would leave anybody with that kind of mess. I don't think Cope would want to walk into something like that, so he wouldn't allow anybody to walk into a situation like that either. And two, it just allows for that new coach to come in, be calm, and work on setting the precedent that they want to set and creating the atmosphere and everything that they want to create. Because if you have to come in and worry about those contracts first, everything gets pushed down the line. And eventually some of that stuff isn't, you're not going to be able to get to it because you just don't have enough time. So I think this was both about Cope as a person and what he wanted for the team and for those players and how tight-knit he is, but also him thinking ahead, like, what would I want to be coming into as a new coach and trying to set up and take care of many of those things as possible so that the new coach coming in is able to pick up right where he left off and do so in a way that flows naturally rather than being faced with so many big decisions right away.
Yeah, and I also think, too, like, you know, getting those guys signed up, it like signed and locked in long term, it's also just a testament to Cope wanting the future of the Water Dogs to be successful. Like, new guy comes in, those guys are free agents. They may not be the type of guys that next coach wants on the team. Not saying that Liam Burns, Eli Goldberg, and Dylan Ward, I think any coach walking this earth would sign up to have those three guys on their roster. But, you know, a coach could come in wanting to implement their philosophy and those guys don't fit in. And then the Water Dogs don't have a franchise goalie, you know, an all-time great in Dylan Ward. They don't have the captain of their defense since inception in Liam Burns. And then de facto captain 1A of the defense in Eli Gobrecht, who's just all around good vibes team guy as well on the team. And I think that's such a smart move by Cope. I hope Robert Cross and Chris Ryan are back as assistant coaches at the very least. I think both of those guys do exceptional jobs for this team. And from what we saw in Ohio with Coach Cross doing the Pat Bev jumping up on the table, that man is built to coach in Philadelphia.
That was hilarious. That was so funny because like we were in this cramped press box. There was barely space for me and you, and somehow mm-hmm. we squeezed four people in there, first off. And then we look down and this dude's like,
let's go.
Come on. Billy, where you at?
Like literally like Pat Bev in the play-in tournament when he was with the Minnesota Timberwolves.
And I was like, this is lit. And then you go down, like you look down, and there's nothing but Philadelphia Water Dogs. Well, at the time,
Water Dogs
fans just there, and they're heckling, and they're loud, and they're cheering. And that is the atmosphere that you want to continue. Even at the least, as long as this guy is still on the sideline.
He doesn't That's what I'm saying.
Have to be the head coach.
As long as he is at bare minimum an assistant coach on this team, I'm happy. Same with Chris Ryan. I think Chris Ryan is a phenomenal assistant coach for this team. Does a fantastic job. I was also thinking this just now. It popped in my head. We've seen a trend recently of retired players coming into the fold as coaches. Drew Snyder most recently with the Whipsnakes. Brooksy with Atlas. Could we potentially see Steve DiNapoli get an interview?
I think he would be another case of coordinator being brought back. I'm not sure he gets the head
coach. I also think he's retired too recently to mm-hmm. where he'd want to come and coach.
As a head coach.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. But I mean, if I'm Mike and Paul, I would certainly tender him the interview. Just to pick his brain, because he was the OG captain of the team. Like, see what he wants to see as well from now an outsider looking into what the Water Dogs culture is. I'm trying to think of anyone else, because there haven't been that many Water Dogs that have retired. Although Deej, I know he's a Cannons legend. He's going to be more remembered as a Boston Cannon than anything. We did just see him be an assistant coach in the Champ Series. He did play for the Water Dogs for a year.
Stop it.
Could Mike and Paul interview? I'm just going strictly interviews. I'm not saying hire. I'm saying, because the other thing too is very funny that like most other sports announce like we've conducted a formal interview with insert coach's name here. We haven't seen that with the PLL like ever. It would be fun to see that. I mean, if I'm Mike and Paul, I'm also offering an interview to Brody Merrill.
Yeah. I don't even know if Brody takes it, but I definitely think they offer it to him.
It'd be an interesting candidacy there. I don't even know who else to put into the category of head coach of the Water Dogs. Because when you think Water Dogs, you think Cope.
Literally. And, like, you can't recreate Cope, let me tell you. Guy's a special human being.
And he's always got an open mic on this show, no matter what. So, can't thank Cope enough, though, for just the time, the support, the love, the friendship. Like, he treated us as equal and, like, gave us some of the best compliments, advice, and just, like, overall, like, good vibes over the years. And 2022 is definitely one that we will remember for a very long time.
You know what it is with us.
He knows the vibes.
And by us, I mean me and you. You'll forever be special to me. It'll always be Go Redwoods. But I'll never forget how well you answered my question. Never forget how comfortable you made me feel. Never forget the amazing things you had to say about the game of lacrosse, about your players, and just the energy you put toward making the game grow. It will forever, forever be held cherished by me. Nobody else has to, but I will. And you will be missed in the Philadelphia Water Dogs locker room, the press conferences, and everywhere else. But I'll be sure to remind everybody that there will never be another Cope to come through.
Big facts. Also, pretty cool on the way out. Cope got the one thing that was missing, although it wasn't regular season, but overall, he finally did pick up a win against the Redwoods.
You're right. Oh, man. That's the only time the Water Dogs have ever beat the Redwoods.
Yep.
Dang. And you know what? The Woods are 1-1 in Champ Series against Water Dogs. No, sorry. 0-1. No, 1-1, right?
I forget if they played in the OG Champ Series or not.
Just make this easy on myself. No, they didn't. The Woods didn't. They didn't make the OG Champ Series.
No, OG was 2020.
Oh, yeah, but that we don't count that as Champ Series. Okay. No, the Woods are 0-1 to the Water Dogs in the Champ Series.
But Nat St. Laurent's got that one thing in his back pocket. He is the only coach to ever remain undefeated against Andy Copeland. Cope's got to come back to the Water Dogs for one game to try to get that.
Imagine they put him back on the sideline just for that game. I would actually lose it. And they probably would lose it too.
Facts. Andy Copeland's got to have a Water Dogs hat hanging in the Water Dogs rafters.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And as soon as we can, we retire in Coach Copeland.
Facts.
On a jersey.
Philadelphia Water Dogs Ring of Honor. Andy Copeland's first.
Mm-hmm. First name. First time ballot. All that. No, unanimous, all that.
Danny Passavoy, do you hear this? We need every team to have like a Ring of Honor.
I like that.
Ring of Andy Honor. Copeland, first ballot. We'll come back with some PLL talk. But
Ring of Honor here in Kalamazoo.
We need an OTB Ring of Honor.
Because let me tell you, I would 1,000% be on my team's Ring of Honor already. I've done stuff this program hasn't done before. Last year, I beat a team. My program has never beat. You know something else we never had? We never had gear that we could just wear around. You know who did that? Me. Put me in the Ring of Honor now. Now. And I'm just getting started. I'm trying to think of something else I did. I got us goals from the PLL. Ain't nobody else did that. I got us practice pennies. Ain't nobody did that since way back in the day. I got us new jerseys. 8 years since we had new jerseys. God damn it. Where's my Ring of Honor?
Speaking of Ring of Honor, here is a quick hit from PLL Champ Series OTB Radio with Andy Copeland. All right, everybody, welcome back to OTB Radio live from PLL Champ Series, and we are joined by 2022 World Champion and currently 2-0 in the PLL Championship Series for 2024, head coach of the Philadelphia Water Dogs, Andy Copeland, for the first time in person on the show. We've had you a number of times. Good to have you in person, Cope.
KB, it's fun to be here, man. This has been a really cool week of lacrosse. It's fun to meet Mama Bear over there. So yeah, let's have at it here.
How has the Champ Series experience been so far? Obviously, a little different from the status quo of typical field lacrosse, but what has that experience been like through two games?
It's been really cool. I mean, it's fun to get like a fraction of the team back together. I mean, obviously we lost the championship in September, kind of in heartbreaking fashion. So obviously you down in dumps there for a little bit, but this is something that we've had to look forward to, and I love our 12-person roster. All 12 of those guys are awesome in their own kind of contributing in their own unique way, and it's a long week, right? I mean, it's like part of me is like you're at like lacrosse camp with your buddies, which is like the fun and exciting part of it, but there's a lot of nuanced stuff in terms of recovery and, you know, just managing guys' minutes and what a certain rotations look like, with the understanding that, yes, it's great to be 2-0, but at the end of the day, you want to be the last team standing here on Monday. So what does the durability piece look like? I mean, you saw a couple injuries yesterday, which is obviously really unfortunate. So that's our priority, at least, going into tonight's game, is making sure that we try to stay healthy and we can be as fresh as possible going into the playoffs.
You have a couple guys here that are they've been Water Dogs, but they've kind of been like fringe guys roster wise during the regular season, like Jason Rose, Kyle Borda. What's it been like having them in the mix this whole week and being part of the team?
It's really cool. We kind of have like a I don't want to call it like a new look Water Dogs. I mean, we have obviously McArdle, who's kind of the elder statesman. You have Sowers, Conrad, Caraway, who have been kind of staples. You know, our three kind of D mids were a big part of the action last summer. But yeah, you have some youth in Borda and Trainer and Jeff Connor, and I those guys are showing really well. They're making quite a strong case for hopefully earning a roster spot here this summer. But yeah, focus is on tonight. But those guys are awesome. They just provide such good energy and just youthfulness. Fun to be here.
Matt DeLuca has been, I mean, he's left everyone speechless so far through two games. What has clicked for him in a format that's not traditionally too kind to goalies?
That's a great question. I mean, Matt is he's a student of the game, probably more so than I even ever realized. I certainly have gained an appreciation for just his level of preparedness this week. So that's part of it. But I'll also tell you, if you asked me this question, 4 days ago, what was our goalie situation going to look like? I thought there was probably going to be a 1-2 kind of rotation, try to preserve DeLuca for the playoffs. And he was just in a nice rhythm. I mean, we have a really good relationship. Obviously, I trust him, so I kind of lean into him and just kind of ask him how he's feeling. Has he taken some body shots? What's he feeling like? And honestly, he feels great right now. So, no sense in upsetting the apple cart at 2-0. But obviously, I'm going to kind of listen to him throughout tonight's game, and we'll make whatever decisions appropriate for both him and the team.
Somehow, some way, Kieran McArdle is still one of the most underrated players in the league. He's right up there for the Golden Stick right now. I think he's 1 point behind Matt Campbell from the Cannons, but what is it that, no matter what format of lacrosse it is, field, box, sixes, he's got that nuance and is just able to find the back of the net.
Yeah, and you know what? I think the Golden Stick, if I'm not mistaken, may just be goal-scoring production. He's as good of a feeder as he is a goal scorer. So I think that balance in his game, I think, really is differentiated for him. But, there's obvious chemistry between him and Michael. And Karen says he's been around the block a little bit. I mean, like all those years of experience, both indoor and outdoor, I think sixes is kind of a combination of both, right? So it's really right up Karen's alley, and he's certainly showing quite well.
We talked about it in the press conference after the first game, but Christian Scarpello just like feels like a kid in a candy store in this form. And obviously, that experience with Team England as well, playing some forward, but he feels like kind of the X factor for you guys right now from playing a D-midi unit in field, and now he's out here just running the entire floor for you guys. How much of an X factor has he been, and what have you kind of, you know, picked his brain about to just enhance the coaching ability when you have the shifts and everything like you do in sixes?
Yeah, I mean, Scarps is awesome. He's the son of a coach, first of all, so he's, I think he kind of like approaches the game through that lens where not all players necessarily have that ability. He's a guy I lean into and get prep quite a bit just because I really trust and value his opinion. He's a warrior. He's a competitor. I never have to question his grit or just his sheer toughness. And then the reality is coming in, you know, I think on paper it was easy to sit here and say, oh, man, one of the downfalls of the Water Dogs could be you only have one lefty in McArdle. But in the back of my head, I had exactly what you just mentioned, that Scarps has real like offensive acumen through his Team England stretch, and you know, he's a natural lefty and he's really good on both sides of the ball. So Scarps provides a whole lot of utility. I think the answer to your question, you know, kind of in the press conference, also alluded to Conrad, where he draws a lot of attention just in this format because obviously he's very well suited for it. But Scarps is absolutely in that category as well.
Philly Boston tonight to wrap up the round robin portion. I mean, a little look into, you know, the location rivalry there. What's that? What's the juices like in the locker room for tonight's matchup, where Cannons have been able to put up, you know, 25, 26 goals in their first two games, and you guys have played outstanding defense. DeLuca's been phenomenal. What's kind of the look into this matchup for you guys?
They're really good. I mean, I think you probably saw a little bit of that tension, you know, during the scrimmage a few days ago. I think, you know, the guys kind of got some of that stuff out of their systems, kind of really on both sides. But look, I got a great relationship with Coach Coleman. He's a really good man. I think he's done an awesome job kind of rebuilding the Cannons organization. We have a ton of respect for those guys. I mean, look, we're going to treat it like any other lacrosse game. We want to be smart, understanding that the playoffs are around the corner. We don't know yet whether tomorrow's playoff game will be in the first or second slot, so it's as quick of a turnaround as we've had. So we are going to ask kind of like all 10 guys to make sure that they shoulder the burden tonight and share it, and I don't want to put Sowers in a position where he has to dodge 40 times, so on and so forth. So there's a little bit of smarts that go into it, but I think both teams certainly are going to compete and try to win, so it should be a fun one.
And you can keep up with the Philadelphia Water Dogs and the PLL app, and they hooked us up this week with a XP code, Cope.
Oh, now
XP
we're talking.
XP is gold for everybody out there. You can use code OTBPOD for 500 XP in the PLL app and keep up with Andy Copeland and the Philadelphia Water Dogs.
KB, thanks, brother. Great to see you, all right?
You know, before we keep it pushing, Deej, you know, we were talking about the Ring of Honor thing, and I saw on Twitter this week, I forget who it was that initially brought it up, but I think PLL Pearl quote tweeted it, talking about like jersey retirements in the PLL eventually. That's going to be a fun thing in a few years. Now that there's home cities, jersey retirements and everything, who gets that honor? But I do think every team needs a Ring of Honor or some sort of like team Hall of Fame or Wall of Fame. If, you know, when it gets to the point where the PLL owns stadiums for teams. Water Dogs wise, Andy Copeland, Steve DiNapoli, hands down, are like the first two inductees, coach player wise, in my opinion.
What was that? I was like listening, but
Cope and Steve DiNapoli are like coach player first inductees into the Water Dogs Ring of Honor, in my opinion.
Do you put Drew Snyder in there? Already not doing that.
I think he's more Whip Snake,
right? I know it's hard because like he had the play that he drew up for the Whip Snakes, win the championship and everything, and but then he gets booted away, and it's like,
and now he's back coaching with them.
Yeah, like that's probably what really puts him over the top for the Whip Snakes is the fact that he went back coaching there. Not that like
And he only spent one season. Like, truly, I know he was on the roster in 2021, but, like, he was injured most of the time, so he didn't really play. So his only season with the Water Dogs, really, was 2020, which was a shortened Champ Series season. I mean, like, K-18 is going to go in for the Redwoods, for sure.
Oh, not even a question.
Do you think Beast gets in with the Redwoods, even though it was only one season?
I think you kind of have to, right? Or do you just put him in the overall PLL?
I think Beast gets into the obvious Lacrosse Hall of Fame. I think Beast gets into a Redwoods Ring of Honor where K-18 does as well, but I think K-18 gets the number 18 retired eventually. Mm-hmm. I don't know if 32 ever gets retired for the Redwoods.
I wouldn't retire 32.
Because it was only one season. And that's no slight at Beast. He's our guy.
He wasn't like above average either that year. He was like... just good. He was good. Mm-hmm. He was still really good, but he wasn't like this. Like, if you're going to play one year and then get a jersey retirement, you have to be astronomical, and he was not.
Yeah, he was very good. Chaos-wise, they haven't really had any, like, retirements yet.
I mean, you know you got to throw AT in there.
But you know AT will go in, and Nat's going to go in for the Redwoods as well, obviously. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think eventual for Chaos, it's going to be Blaze, Jared, Jack, Josh Byrne. Those would be the four, I would say. And then Whipsnakes, Rambo, Zed.
Do you put Nards in there?
Not yet, but I think eventually you will.
And I guess what, Burns? Bernie?
Burnlore, probably.
Yeah,
Dunn in there. Matt Dunn.
Obviously, Earhart.
Earhart probably gets jersey retired. Rambo probably gets jersey retired.
You can't not retire Earhart's jersey.
Yeah. Channy probably goes Ring of Honor.
Mm-hmm. Smitty, Brad Smith.
As long as he keeps playing and stays healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Jay Carlson gets Ring of Honor. Archer's, Schreiber's getting his jersey retired, hands down. And Ring of Honor duties, obviously. And I think we can all agree that the original coaches of all of these teams will go into that team's Ring of Honor. So we won't continue saying the coaches, but that's like a given. Right. Will Manny Marcus Holman Ring of Honor for the Archers? Question mark.
I think you got to go Cannons for Holman.
Really?
Look at the year he had this year. You know what
I mean? I mean, you could get both.
He just won a Champ Series.
He could end up in both.
Close to being the Golden Stick Award. They just took the Cannons from being the worst team to almost the best. But did he do enough with the Archers? I don't think so.
Did he though, really?
Like, they didn't win anything. And he never was really like, and like, it wasn't completely his fault because of how things were set up. But like, he never had an opportunity to be a top scorer in the, like, truly a top scorer in the league because there were so many mouths to feed. Like, he doesn't get the same amount of touches and plays drawn for him and such that he does for the Cannons. And it's not just because Brian's his dad, but look at how their team is constructed. Him and Asher almost have a 1A, 1B attack in terms of we are the first options. We are the ones they draw the plays for. We are the ones they're trying to get to score. And it showed this year with how high their production was. I don't think we've seen production like this from Holman since his, like, middle of the pack, not middle of the pack, but middle MLL years where he was like really playing good ball because he was at a prime in his athletic standpoint in terms of age.
So 2019 Marcus had, and we also got to like remember with guys that were predominantly MLL, like stats are going to be a little skewed from their MLL years because there was more games. But Marcus 2019 had 32 points in 10 games, 21 goals, 2 2-pointers, 7 assists. 2020 bubble was his down year, and he's admitted that. Bounced back in 2021, 9 games, 24 points, 16 goals, 8 assists. That was year one as well of full season Grant Ament. And then 2022, bounce back even better. 10 games, 29 points, 17 goals, 2 2-pointers, 8 assists. So overall in his Archers career, 32, 7 is 39, plus 39 and 53 is hard math. 92 points in an Archers uniform in 4 seasons.
Right. I mean, that's good. That's almost 25 points a season. But how many did he have this year?
44. MVP caliber year.
He almost doubled his average.
Saying he could be one of the few guys that gets into a Ring of Honor for two teams.
But, I mean, just looking at the Archers, there's other guys I'd put ahead of him. More specifically, from the team this year. If Matt keeps playing how he is, he's got to go in.
Well, yeah, Schreiber will get in. Matt McMahon will get in. And
Ambler?
Ambler will get in. Graham Hossick will get in.
You know, I don't see Dauber slowing down anytime soon. If he keeps playing at this level, I mean, I got to imagine he gets in the Ring of Honor.
Dominique and Mark McNeil will get in.
Right. Am I opposed to him getting in for both?
I think Marcus gets in to both, whereas Will would only get in for the Archers.
I think Will has a better chance of the Archers, and that being the only place he gets in.
Mm-hmm. I don't.
I'm not opposed to it, and I wouldn't be surprised or say no if he did get it. But if Marcus was only given cannons, I would see why. Based upon how many more people have a chance in an Archer's Ring of Honor than cannons. Because, cannons, obviously Brody's going in.
Mm-hmm.
You probably put Paul in there.
Mm-hmm. Not probably. You will put Paul in there.
and then Brenner?
If he keeps playing like the way he has, yes. And I love Ryan Turner. It's just a matter of the consistent play.
Right. I would say LT4, but so far a man's played one season. Or two. Something like that. Two? I think just one. No, I think two.
Two.
Two. Yeah. He's played two.
Yeah, he's not.
It's hard.
That's no slight to Lyle.
No, because he's LT4, but at the same time, he's played two seasons. So, if they said yes, I'd be like, all right. I'd be like, is LT4 arguably the best player to ever come through your program? Yes, because he's LT4. But I could see you saying he didn't actually.
But not the best in a Cannons uniform.
Right. And I could see them saying no because of that. But, I mean, Asher, he's going to go down.
What about Nick Morocco? I just had to get your reaction.
Ridiculous.
No. Miraculous. What's the call we were looking for?
I'm about to cut you off.
Yeah, Cannons is weird too because it's like backdating to MLL a little bit too. Rest of the Water Dogs, it's going to be Kieran Sowers, Dylan Ward, Liam Burns, Eli. Brian Brown.
Yeah, Brownie. Does Paul go in for Atlas too?
No. Respectfully.
So who gets in for Atlas?
Trevor.
Yes.
Tucker Durkin.
Okay. Teat.
Jeff Teat. Brian Costabile.
Oh, you think Costabile stays long enough to make it?
Well, I mean, he surprisingly re-signed with them, so. Him and Teat.
What if he just re-signs to get traded?
Find out next time on Dragon Ball Z. Trying to think of who else is put on an Atlas uniform. Oh, Danny Logan.
Okay, I like Danny. Danny L.
I mean, if he keeps coaching with them, Brooksy has a shot.
Okay, yeah.
As player coach. Maybe Rex Road.
If he keeps playing well, he's in a good space right now.
Who are we forgetting? Chrome. Denver Outlaws. Half the water. Oh, we also forgot somebody for the Water Dogs, Zach Currier.
Definitely. Didn't forget Currier. We're not going to.
Well, when we were listing, we forgot to mention him.
Don't do that. Tough.
Chrome, Denver Outlaws, half the Water Dogs roster will go in for them.
Will they, though? Well,
because
I guess
they won championships in the MLL for the Denver Outlaws.
Does that really count?
Yeah.
Are we really? But okay. I think it depends on how many MLL teams come over. I should say that.
Well, I'm saying in the current state, I think it will. Especially because the Outlaws championship was, like, in relative terms, the most recent.
I mean, yeah.
Of a regular MLL season.
I guess what I'm saying is if you bring over one more MLL team, like, how relevant are the MLL awards and everything, you know? Like, now if they bring back three, four of those teams, if not more, I see a legitimate reason to start to blend those Ring of Honors. But, like...
Well, being that it's... The way that the homecoming was presented, they're adopting everything from Outlaws past.
Right. No, I'm not saying like necessarily Denver, because like that has happened. But like, if they don't bring back more of the former MLL teams, it's kind of hard to go that route with Denver, because it's like, okay, everybody else is looking solely at the PLL, and now we're gonna look at the MLL just because you're Denver, like. It's hard to bite that. If they add more teams, 1,000%, you have to put like half the league.
Eli Zach Currier, Dylan Ward, Mikey Schlosser, Kluch, Drew Snyder. who else was on that?
And like, I want them to, because then like John Grant Jr.
Yeah.
He gets to get thrown in there, you know. At that point, Lyle Thompson, you can't not put him on the Bayhawks. You can't not put Miles on the Bayhawks.
Miles is such an interesting case.
Does Miles get to get? How many is he going to make?
Maybe like, the Redwoods.
I mean, he's got to make – I think he makes Woods.
I think
he makes Chesapeake. If they come
well,
back.
Yeah. I'm saying current teams right now, probably just Redwoods.
Maybe Chaos, man.
I don't think he makes Chaos.
His early years Chaos, like they don't make that championship game without him. Or sorry, yeah, no, not him. Sorry. I was thinking wrong year. Sorry. No, but those
he was only on Chaos for 1 year.
No, two. right?
No, because the Salcedo Miles trade happened February 2020.
Oh, so right before that season kicked off.
Yeah, he was only on Chaos in 2019. Because the trend was AT was getting rid of all the guys like year after they had like phenomenal. Because it was Miles, and then he benched Connor Fields in the championship game. Connor got traded.
Oh, Connor. Damn.
Fields, he goes in as an archer, too.
I think so. We really just managed to name the whole league.
This was the ultimate guys being dude segment.
Literally.
Dudes will just sit around naming random players.
That's funny. People are going to hear this segment and go, man, I could have did that better than them. Water Dogs should have had this person and this person. Well, if Denver's going to get that, then we got to add them. And oh, man, we just started something, bro. This might even end up on the Twitter.
Literally.
The Twitter, because I ain't calling it X.
The Twitter. Dog, why can I not backdate the Denver Outlaws anymore? It's only showing PLL out. On Wikipedia.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh, SpaghettiOs.
They might not be bringing any more MLL teams back.
Oh, here we go. I clicked on it again. It says Denver Outlaws. It's the PLL version on Wikipedia. And then the first line, not to be confused with the Major League Lacrosse team, the Denver Outlaws, 2006 to 2020.
Except that is.
It's the same team.
I am screaming, bro. Oh, my God.
I mean, to be honest, you know who else would go in for the Denver Outlaws Ring of Honor due to coaching record alone? Stags.
Really?
Stags from 2012 to 2013 coached 28 regular season games for the Denver Outlaws, 25-3.
Okay, Dan. Tell me something I didn't know.
Oh, Max Adler definitely goes into the Ring of Honor for the Outlaws. And maybe Chaos.
I say, does he go in for Chaos? That's where I was going to go. Because he was an instrumental part in that team.
Here's something we got to keep an eye on, too. Because the Denver Outlaws in 2020, like that iteration, 2006 to 2020, had three retired numbers, bro. I got one of them has been in use.
Oh? On this team.
One is in use for this team.
How is that possible?
So Jesse Schwartzman's number was retired by the Denver Outlaws, number 19. Our guy, Jesse King, wears number 19 for the Denver Outlaws.
Question. Technically, Jesse King does not, because he hasn't played PLO in some time.
He played last year.
And before that?
2020.
Right.
But he played last year and wore number 19.
Barely. And technically they were chrome. So he did wear 19 for the Denver
Outlaws. He is on the active roster for the Denver Outlaws now.
They're not gonna let him wear. I don't think they let him wear that number.
That's his number though, bro.
They're the Denver Outlaws. He can't wear that number.
Because the other two numbers are not in use, and that is number 29 for all name team, Lee Zink. Number 7, Matt Bocklet.
Oh, okay, Bocklet, I see you. But that 29's a little.
Also, you know what's hilarious? Every member of the Denver Outlaws right now, sans Connor Farrell, because he's not on the active roster right now, he's a free agent. Every member as of May 31st, 2023 on the roster for... Or I'm dumb. Forget what I was going to say.
All right.
I forgot to turn the page. And by turn the page, I meant look a little to the right and the rest of the roster was over there. But anywho, I was going to say the active roster, nobody has a number higher than 20. And then I looked over and I was like, that's wrong. Sean Scannone, where's number 50? Mm-hmm. Where's he at?
I'm glad you fixed that before I had to say something to you.
Yeah, I would have just ended the podcast right there. But let us know who you think is going to get a jersey retired in the YouTube comment section or be in the Ring of Honor, and who should be in the OTB Ring of Honor. I think that's what we got to call it. You know how we've been talking about OTB Hall of Fame for a couple years now? It's got to be the OTB Ring of Honor.
Is that what we're doing?
I feel like that checks out.
I'll start really thinking about it.
Or should it be
I'm gonna have some strict criteria on this side.
Should it be the Box of Honor?
I ain't letting everybody in this box. So,
breaking news?
I'm down for it.
Breaking news?
Put it out.
There it is. Breaking news. Breaking news. OTB officially naming their Hall of Fame the Box of Honor. Because then every time we talk about it, we can yell, what's in the box?
What's in the box?
What's in the box?
Nothing.
Yet.
I can't believe he really opened that box to nothing.
But we will we'll devise and scheme that, because I'm sure there are some very worthy members to be in the Box of Honor. But Deej, let's it's going to be hard to scroll through, but we've got NLL to discuss as well. And it is a loaded week, of course. And it is all brought to you by our pals over at Tomahawk Shades, the best small batch eyewear in the game. From sunglasses to blue light glasses to prescription lenses, they've got you covered with the most stylish and comfortable eyewear for a fraction of the price of the big eyewear companies. Deej and I are always wearing our sunglasses when we're outside. He's wearing them on the sidelines while he's coaching. I'm rocking my blue lights when I'm editing, watching lacrosse. You guys should be protecting your eyes too. You only get one pair of eyes in your lifetime. Make sure they are protected from sunlight, from blue light, and everything in between. Go to TomahawkShades.com or download the Tomahawk Shades app in the App Store, Google Play Store. And when you go to check out, use code USP for 25% off your order. That's code USP at TomahawkShades.com or in the Tomahawk Shades app for 25% off your order. Deej, we have NLL action to discuss. We will skip on the recap here because y'all saw what happened this past week. I was correct in one thing, and that was actually I was correct in a lot of things, but redacted going 0-2 on the weekend. See what happens when you follow the boys on Twitter. Good things happen. Shout out to the Seals and shout out to Panther City for making us look good. And I know, Deej, you picked redacted in the latter game, but you got to admit, seeing the math do a little mathing had to be somewhat satisfying for you.
A little bit. And we was this close. You got to remember, they are still.
We.
Don't we me right now. Don't we me right now. They are still one of my league pass teams of the year. So, yes, it is still a we for me.
Ain't going to be a wee next week.
But listen, I'm going to tell y'all, hell no, it's not. hell no. We walking right down there to Duluth and kicking some ass as rough night. I know that. But I will tell them.
All right, that's 107-18.
Lyle Thompson, the... God damn it. And your social team. You got to follow us back by the end of the year or you're toast. I won't know nobody on that team that is not named Lyle Thompson or Brett Dobson. And I mean that.
We got to show love to a couple other guys, friends of the program.
You can.
J-Mac.
Mac is cool.
Andrew Q.
I mean, these dudes are cool. I'm not, it's nothing against the team.
Right, right. That's what we're solidifying here. We said it a little bit last week. This is nothing against players, coaches, because head coach follows us on the gram, which is
the biggest awesome. Thing is I'm going to still get off social team beef. Tweet every week. The LT4 tweet's going to come every week regardless Fact. Of whether they follow. And
that's personalized. That could come during MSL.
That can come whenever I want it to. I just put that out of the red. I'll put that out right now, and he ain't even playing because he's that good. But as far as liking their tweets, retweeting their score caps, and that kind of stuff, I will call them redacted until they choose to follow us back. So you got until the end of the year. I'm going to call you all that this year because we locked in for the year. I made you my league pass. We locked in. But come the end of the year?
Now, by end of year, do you mean end of regular season or end of
their season? Once okay. their season is over, if you don't follow us by the time November rolls back around and we start talking NLL again, I don't want to hear nothing from you. And I mean it. I mean it. You got some months.
They know we exist. That's the thing.
That's a solid 9 months. Not even because, dang it, the leap year is almost over. You got a solid 8 months from March to November to follow us and let us know what's up. Or we good on you. So
they know we exist. That's the thing.
Make sure they do because they like the tweet.
Mm-hmm. And that's where this all stems from.
Make your choice.
Let's get into week 14, though. And these are the matchups we have this week, Deej. It's redacted at Halifax, San Diego at Panther City, Toronto at Las Vegas, and Buffalo at Vancouver. That's your Friday night slate. 4 games on Friday. Then Saturday, we got Rivalry Week 2.0, this time at the Wells Fargo Center. Unfortunately, I will not be there due to my obligations for our musical. But it is Marvel night. Well, Marvel day, I should say, at the Wells Fargo Center. Then we have Battle of New York as the Riptide take on Albany, Saskatchewan at Colorado, and Toronto at San Diego. That's your Saturday slate. And then Sunday slate, Rochester at Panther City at 4 p.m. on Sunday. What are you looking forward to most in week 14, Teach?
Week 14 is going to be more than a doozy. But look at us. We're head-to-head again in this week. And you know I'm no holds barred when it's like that. You got lucky that I ended up having to work the last time these two teams played. But guess what? Guess what I don't got to do at 1 o'clock on Saturday? Work. I ain't got nothing to do but text you all day while the Roughnecks give y'all that work. So, yes, you probably going to end up blocking me by 3 p.m. Saturday.
I won't be on my phone because I will be photographing a wonderful musical at Buena Regional High School. Shout out to them. Get your tickets to go see Matilda this weekend.
Oh, you going to block me because that little notify anyway, tap.
I won't have my phone on person is what I'm saying.
Okay, that's fine. You're going to come back like 1,000 messages and be like, what is he talking about? Yeah, I'm on that. Jesse King, Zach Currier, own that. We all own that. CBD's not letting up more than 12. We're on that. So, yeah, of course I'm hyped for the 1 o'clock game. It's Saturday at 1 o'clock. We get Matinee Lacrosse. I'm over the moon. And then, obviously, I need Toronto and San Diego pumped into my veins at 10 p.m. so I can stay awake for that. As soon as I Maryland-Notre Dame on Sunday, so that'll be awesome. And then, of course, the opener Friday night, which I'll be watching on my phone while I'm at a basketball game. That one's just going to be exciting because it's just two really good offenses against okay defenses with great goalies. So we're going to see goals. We're going to see bad defense, and we're going to see good offense. That sounds like fun. I'm here for it. It's a great way to open up the week. So I think they did a nice job this week. Shout out to the NLL. I'm not even talking times here. I'm just talking the balance of games, right? Halifax is going to be a phenomenal game.
It's 1:13.
That's 7 p.m. on Friday. Sure, it gets cut off an hour in for San Diego Panther City, but most people aren't even going to watch that game. And if they do, they'll probably be bouncing back and forth but spending more time on the Halifax game. Love that.
Should be dialed in for San Diego Panther City, though, because they both follow us on the tweet machine.
10 p.m., Toronto and Buffalo are each playing, but they're playing some teams that are a little lower in the standings this year.
AKA teams that they should beat.
So it's worth the back-and-forth flop since they both kick off at 10 p.m. on the West Coast. Cool with that. New York-Albany should be fun, but it's standalone at 7 p.m. You have nothing bothering you. You also have nothing bothering you for the first half of Saskatchewan and Colorado, because that's probably going to be the good half of that game because neither one of them play good in the second half. I'm here for that. Obviously, like I mentioned, Roughnecks and Philly are solo at 1 p.m. And then 10 on Saturday night and 4 p.m. on Sunday. Almost all the games are standalone. You get a chance to actually watch the game you're trying to watch without trying to bounce back and forth. Phenomenal job with scheduling this week. I'm extremely impressed and excited for this weekend.
I did laugh because it is a bunch of Marvel games this week with the Marvel partnership for the NLL. The Wings will be wearing Black Panther themed jerseys, which is so sick. But our good pal and future friend of the program, Teddy Jenner, posted there's 15 teams in the NLL and there are infinite numbers of Marvel characters in the Marvel comic universe. How is it that we ended up with four teams with Thor, two with Black Panther, two with Thanos, ... Now, my inner nerd is like, hell yeah, Teddy, I agree with you. Let's have every team of a different character. The brain of overall thinking goes, Marvel probably only licensed a few characters to the NLL this year. But that's also kind of a slight to Marvel not realizing, hey, maybe we should license out 15 characters. Because the Wings could have easily had, like, Hawkeye, Falcon.
Yeah, I say, but there isn't a lot of color differences across the MLL or the NLL, which we've talked about a number of times. So I think that kind of, like, don't get me wrong. You cannot tell me that if the Roughnecks stayed red, they wouldn't be Iron Man this weekend.
Or Deadpool.
I'm cool with either one.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, they're going to be something that we've probably already seen this year due to them being black, gray, and white. Las Vegas is also black and white. Like, without the variance in colors, it's that probably what Marvel saw is like, oh, a lot of these teams are these colors, so let's just use these characters because it'll be easy to coordinate and create jerseys and even ones that look different than the same team that wore this other superstar or superhero because we have the time to put it together and we see the color schemes and everything. So that may be part of it as well, but I kind of agree. I wish we would have seen some more difference in the characters that were used.
Yeah. The Wings jerseys look great. I'm excited to see them on the guys. Obviously I won't be able to be there in person, which sucks, but fun week of games. I'm excited for, obviously, that matinee, I'll have to go back and watch it on replay because I won't be home. I think New York-Albany is going to be a lot of fun. I think Toronto and San Diego, with both teams coming off of games earlier on Friday, is going to be very fun. And I low-key think Rochester-Panther City could be sneaky fun on Sunday. I'm looking forward to that as well. But I think without any further ado, Deej, let's head on over to the pick pond and put a bow on this episode because your boy's got to get ready to go photograph opening night of Matilda. Go get your tickies if you're in the area. Let's feed some ducks and make our week 14 NLL picks of the week, brought to you by Kenwood Beer, the official beer partner of Underground Sports Philadelphia. It's a refreshing light beer, just 4.1% ABV, only 120 calories, just 8 grams of carbs. Go to kenwoodbeer.com. Check out everything they have to offer in their storefront. Get your Kelly Green Kenwood Beer crew necks and shirts for St. Patrick's Day. And use the Kenny Finder to see who's got Kenwood Beer on tap in the Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Maryland, and New Jersey areas. Must be 21 or older to do so. And, of course, please drink responsibly. Deej, we start off in Halifax. 7 p.m. Eastern time start this week at the Nest. As Redacted takes on the Thunderbirds. You already know where I'm going. That home field advantage is elite. Halifax is playing good lacrosse right now. They're 7-4. I like the way they're rolling. They're putting up points. Give me the T-Birds at home.
As much as I would love to go with the...
That is 1-8.
I'm going to have to go with Halifax because they're at home and their offense seems to spark at home. Even if they have to come back late like they did last week, they figure out how to make it work. So I'll take the T-Birds at home as well.
San Diego at Panther City kicks off at 8 p.m. Eastern time. I'm going to go with the Seals for the face-off advantage and just the overall offense advantage. But I do think it's going to be an interesting game pace-wise, but give me San Diego.
Yeah, I think San Diego takes this one handily. I think we've seen some struggles from Panther City in games like this, but they also come out and shine. So I think this is one where people are kind of writing them off easily, but it'll be a lot closer than people think. But San Diego still has just too much firepower.
Toronto at Las Vegas at 10 p.m. Eastern time. Should be a game that Toronto wins. Will they? Who knows? But I am picking them to win. Give me Toronto to get the dub in Vegas.
Vegas has beat some teams that they shouldn't beat this year. So I wouldn't be surprised if they squeeze one out. But Toronto's at the top of the standings for a reason. Give me the Rock.
The other 10 p.m. Eastern time game, Buffalo at Vancouver. In years past, I feel like this game would have been a lot easier to pick. There is a little hesitation just because of the ups and downs that Buffalo has gone through this year. I did love Jerry Ragonese's tweet earlier last week saying that if I'm Buffalo, I am calling Connor Farrell immediately. I am going to take the Buffalo Bandits, though.
I think I like Buffalo here as well. Vancouver's kind of just hit a tough spot this year with all the changeover with Kurt coming over and trying to figure things out with new pieces. And as much as Buffalo has struggled this year, I think this is one where they have an understanding that they're able to kind of reset their footing as they prepare to go into the ending of the year. So give me Buffalo.
You already know where we're going on Saturday at 1 p.m. We're going with our squads because we're loyal to a T. New York at Albany, Deej, at 7 p.m.,
I will say I was very close to picking the Wings this weekend.
I'll tell you what, I was very close to picking Calgary.
Just because they got the Black Panther unis over. Just by that, too. But I'm cool with rocking with my boys. I might have picked New York if they were at home, but I think Albany needs a reset as well, and this is a good chance for them to do that. They've kind of been on a little bit of a downward slope, have the Riptide the last couple of games. And who can blame them when they just got shipped to another country?
I'm with you. I like Albany in this spot. I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be a physical game. But give me Albany to get the dub at home. Maybe the hardest game of the weekend to pick, Saskatchewan at Colorado. A game where I hope both teams just have fun. I have no idea where I'm going with this one. So, Deej, I'll give you the floor to make your selection.
Neither one of them is really doing well.
Nope.
Only reason Saskatchewan is ahead of Colorado because they've played less games. This one's in the Loud House.
Mm-hmm.
Give me the Mammoth for that reason. It's the only thing I have.
Yeah, that was the one thing I was leaning towards too. And I was like, I sound dumb for saying that. Hopefully not. I'm going Colorado. Toronto at San Diego. This should be a heavyweight tilt. This could be a potential championship, preview. Both teams play earlier in the week, both on Friday. San Diego has a slight rest advantage in this for all the advanced, statistics watch when you look at rest advantage and everything, because San Diego's game against Panther City faces off at 8 p.m. Eastern time. Which by the time Toronto faces off in Vegas, that game is going to be close to, if not already over. And then Toronto will have to travel to San Diego following their game in Vegas. For that reason, I'm going to go with San Diego.
Oh, this is the hardest game of the week to pick. Mm-hmm. Toronto's got to travel less. I'll take Toronto. Like, and by less, I mean between the 2 days, because they both play Friday and then turn around and play Saturday. But San Diego's coming from Panther City, while Toronto is probably either just going to stay in Vegas that night and then travel, or will most likely travel, but they're only going from Vegas to San Diego. Much shorter travel night of. And transitioning to that next day, I like Toronto to go 2-0.
The way I look at it is Toronto's got to go from Toronto to Vegas, then to San Diego.
I was thinking that too, but it's
and San Diego gets the advantage of going from San Diego to Panther City and then back to San Diego. More than likely, by the time Toronto's first game of the weekend faces off, because it's 8 p.m. in Panthers. 8 p.m. Eastern time and then 10 p.m. Eastern time.
They won't be back.
I'm saying they'll be able to leave by the time.
They'll leave in the middle of that. They'll leave by halftime.
Toronto and Vegas will be underway, but by the time that game is done, San Diego will be back in San Diego.
Should be.
I'm
telling you, flying west is like, just add time to the clock, bro. It never stops.
That's flying southwest.
I'm telling you. Where's Colin when we need him?
Last game of the weekend. Rochester at Panther City. Panther City's got a two-game weekend. Both are at home. They're playing good lacrosse right now. Rochester's been on a bit of a downslide this season for whatever reason. And I'm going to go with the home team to get a dub. Give me Panther City.
I like another split game. I'm going to take Roch here. Playing two games in a week is tough. Granted, mm-hmm. they get a day of rest, but Rochester's coming in hungry, looking to get back on the right side of things with rest, full rest for the week. Panther City doesn't have that. And Panther City's got two tough games this week. Rochester is still scoring. That's the biggest thing. They've been losing, but they're scoring outside of their game last week against Vegas where they only put up 8. Other than that, they've been still scoring 13, 14 goals a game. Panther City isn't quite putting out that production, so I think that's part of it. This is a good chance for Rochester to get rolling again against a team that has also been struggling throughout the year from time to time.
So there are our Week 14 NLL Beer Money Picks of the Week brought to you by Kenwood Beer. We both have Halifax, San Diego, Toronto, and Buffalo. I'm going with Philadelphia. Deej has Calgary. We're both going with Albany and Colorado. I've got San Diego. He's got Toronto. I've got Panther City. He's got Rochester. And those are your NLL Week 14 picks of the week. Deed, should we, before I gotta bounce out of here, quick hit the TLN college games of the week with Portal Jones here, as we didn't get a chance to last week because we both had to bounce when we were recording. But I will pull up the games here so that we can discuss. Why can I not find them? What are they under?
Hopkins, Virginia.
There we go. I found them.
Which, as much as I would love to choose Hop, sorry, Diggs, K18, Paul. It's going to be a rough one for y'all this weekend. Y'all are going to be looking at McCabe and Connor, like, why are y'all doing this to us? Virginia's absolutely gross this year, and they make everybody hang their heads. You guys are just next on the list. So, sorry to all the JHUs out there, but the Blue Jays are going to have it rough this weekend against the Cavaliers. The game I'll be at this weekend.
Boots on the ground.
As much as I would love to pick the ACC to roll things this week, I don't know if I trust Notre Dame now. Not because of Georgetown, but because they're playing Maryland, who's on a tear right now. I didn't think Maryland was going to be on that revenge tour type stuff, but Michigan broke them. Beating them twice in a year, and then they turned around and lost their first round game in the Natty tournament really just did something to Maryland. Ajax Zapatello has been insane wearing the one. I got Maryland in this game somehow.
Same.
But I'll be really excited to watch this one. Boots on the ground. First time at Arlotta ever, so that's also going to be fun as well. That game's going to be amazing. I'm taking Penn State over Yale, although
same.
I'm scared.
Yale, my reason is them Chrome Domes.
They did just drop them new Chrome Domes, which are crazy. But, dude, Matt Brandau and the Bulldogs are nothing to mess with this year. So that one I think will be closer than some people feel, but I think Penn State still squeezes that one out. Syracuse is finally going to get a chance to reset things for themselves with now their second loss of the year after they dropped one to Army yesterday in overtime, 13-12. But High Point's nobody to slouch. We've seen them beat Duke and some other big teams as well, so they are someone to keep an eye on. I'm still picking Cuse because Cuse is crazy good, even though they've dropped some. But looking at the two teams that Cuse has lost to, right, they're ranked teams, and they're good ranked teams. Cuse isn't losing to just anybody. They're losing games that are worth losing. So that's the only reason I'm picking them over High Point this weekend.
I took High Point.
I know you did. I could tell. I ain't mad at you. If they win, I'm going to be like, hey, Cuse is going to do that thing they always do. Start off good, and everybody's going to think they're back and look at them. They're not. So that's something to keep an eye on as well. Brian, as much as I want Cuse to be good, they keep throwing games away at the end of the game. Y'all going to be having an early home again this spring because y'all didn't even make it into May last year. Well, you did, like everybody did, but you barely made it into May. And you only made it into May because, oh, wait, did you make it into May? I don't think you made it into May because the ACC didn't have a conference tournament last year. They're going to have one this year. But, yeah, if you guys want to keep it up, now's the kind of time to turn this back around. The last game, I'm still debating on this one, so this one may change. Right now I have North Carolina because the ACC is just that good this year over Penn, but Penn has looked good so far to start the year, and I may switch this one up. That sneakily has game of the week mentality, but it's hard to say that when you have Virginia Hop and Notre Dame Maryland playing this weekend as well.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Download the PLL app. Use code OTBPOD in the redeem code section. Get 500 XP. Keep track of your picks. Deidre, what's your overall record on the TLN college pick'em?
12-20. Not good. Not good right now.
Well, it's 12 out of 20, so you're 12-8.
12-8. Sorry, decent.
I'm 11-9.
It was that one week. Last week I went 2-5. Not good. 2 out of 5. Yeah, it was not good. 2-3 on the week. And it was Cuse's fault because they should have just beat Georgetown. But I digress. I digress.
Make sure you guys are following us at OTB Lax Pod, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Threads. Facebook.com/UndergroundSportsPHI. Follow DJ SCS underscore next great. Follow me, KBIZZL311. Subscribe to the podcast feed on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Leave a 5-star rating and review. Subscribe to the Underground Sports Philadelphia YouTube channel, youtube.com/@UndergroundSportsPhiladelphia. It really does help support us and helps us grow. Let's get to 800 subscribers sooner rather than later. And, of course, get your merch at phiapparel.co, code underground for 10% off your order. And this has been episode number 312 of Underground Sports Philadelphia's official lacrosse podcast, the Outside the Box podcast. Big ups to Andy Copeland. We appreciate you, big dog. And we will catch you guys next week. But until then, peace.
Peace.
And that's Outside the Box.